إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, today inshallah the Hujjaj are standing in Arafah, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept their standing, to accept their dua, and to accept their Hajj, and to include us in those duas inshallah. Alhamdulillah, whoever is there, we ask Allah to accept their Hajj and their du'as and to include us in those du'as. The continuation of the reminders of the lessons of Hajj. Yesterday I mentioned that Hajj is the ibadah which exemplifies and which is based on the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu, which is expressed through complete and unquestioning obedience of Allah. Today I remind myself anew that this complete and unquestioning obedience of Allah is the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you think about it, the entire Hajj, from the time you make the niyyah and put on the ihram to the time you do the sacrifice and you come out of the ihram, the whole of that, all the arkan, the sequence of those arkan, which comes before which and so on, the importance of those, all of these are completely and totally based on the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as communicated to us through the ahadith. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about the Hajj, he said, "Khudu anni manasikakum." He said, "Take the manasik of Hajj, take your manasik from me." So the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's sunnah, the obedience to the sunnah, the complete ittiba of the sunnah, is Hajj. Now those who deny the sunnah and those who deny the hadith must reflect on how they are going to do Hajj, because, or maybe they don't want to do Hajj also, Allah Ta'ala. But if they want to do Hajj, then they should think, how are they doing Hajj? Because Allah has not mentioned the haram in the Quran. Allah did not mention the way to do Umrah. Allah did not mention that tawaf is to be done anti-clockwise and it is to be done 7 times. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say the sa'i is 7 times and that you should run between the green lights. I mean, between the in the valley. Green lights are now today, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not mention, and Allah did not say then come out of the haram, then go to Mina, put on the haram on the 8th to go to Mina, then you go to Arafah, stand in Arafah, come back, Muzdalifah, Muzdalifah, Mina, then where is all this? All of this is the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was given these arakan by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu in the wahi, which we know as the wahi ghair matlu, the wahi that is not recited in the kalam of Allah, but which is also wahi. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not invent all this. He was given this and he communicated to us. And these, as we know, are from the life of the one towards whom his association was given, which is Ibrahim alayhi salam and his family. So it was the actions of Ibrahim alayhi salam and his wife, our mother Hajar alayhi salam, and Ismail alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liked these actions so much that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them as the methodology and the arkan of doing Hajj and gave them to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that he performed them himself and he told us to perform them. And the reward of this, the reward of the ittiba of the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is complete forgiveness of all sins. What is a bigger reward than that? What is a bigger reward for a person that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should forgive all his sins? And all that you make, the dua that you make, and Allah accepting all of those duas and all that, all this is bonus. All this is bonus. The reward for Hajj, for completing these manasik of Hajj, is complete forgiveness of all sins. And what is this? This is the ittiba of the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the reward for the ittiba of the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the forgiveness of all sins. But seriously, we need to reflect on our own attitudes and on our own understanding of deen and correct those things. Because if we don't do that, then may Allah protect us. A time will come when these will be put to a test. And that test is the most severe of tests. And if we know, even with regard to give you an example, with regard to our, gadgets and so on. For example, take a computer, you buy a computer and you use it and it's working fine. It's a brand new machine, absolutely works very fine, everything else. Until one day, you decide to do some programming with it, or you decide to edit a big video file or something, where the machine is now put through paces, it is made to do things that are more tough and which require more hard disk space, and it requires more stress on the machine, and it breaks down. So you say, well, this machine was perfectly fine all this time, I used it, absolutely no problem. Suddenly what happened? Suddenly nothing happened. There was a fault in the hard disk of the machine. It came with that fault. That machine, when you bought the machine, that machine already had this fault. It didn't show up because there was no stress on the machine. But the moment you put the stress on the machine, it breaks. And we can see this in many other things also. I mean, you are driving your car, nothing happens. And then suddenly one day you decide to race, or you take a bend or something, and one wheel flies off or something. Now, the wheel was fine, but until you took that turn, and then maybe the nuts were not very properly put or something, it flies off. You have an accident. So, the point is that just like that, we will be put to a test. Every single one. May Allah protect us from this, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala support us at that time. We will all of us be put to a test. And at that time, that test will show how well our iman disk was working. Because if it breaks down then all that we did is what? I mean, that machine broke down, khalas, that's it. What do? You throw it. You replace the disk. And that time of test is when? When we see Malakul Maut. When we see Malakul Maut is the time when we will be put to that test. And that is when all of these weaknesses, and that is why we keep on harping over and over and over again on everything, because those weaknesses are there. They are there in our nafs, they are there in our soul. If we don't work on them, if we don't get rid of them, then may Allah protect us on that day. There is no one to help. When Malakul Maut comes, that's it. Then where will you go? And if it breaks down there, it's gone. And that's why I keep telling people, if in this life, when Alhamdulillah, everything is going fine, when it's a matter of obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, small thing. When it's a matter of avoiding a disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is a small thing. When it's a matter of following a sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is a small thing. Even this we cannot do. And for all of us, there is only one reason, which is, what will my friend say? What will so and so say? If you can, go and find somebody who's dying. And if they can still talk, ask them. What is your opinion at this time about what your friends are thinking? Abhi ibrat ke waste aur kya kya karna mere ko? Ja ke poocho. Go and ask them. Loga kya bolenge? Ye waqt kya soch rahe hain aap? Loga kya bolenge? Magar wo akal wo time pe aake fayda nahi. To get that understanding when the breath is struck in the throat is no good. Because then the door is already opened. The door of Tawbah is closed. Because you have seen the Malaika. At that time, everybody has 20-20 hindsight vision. No mistakes, no mistaken opinion, nothing. Everything is very clear. Oh my God. So therefore, it is very important for each one of us, and this reminder is for me, for each one of us to reflect on our own lives and remove every disobedience of Allah and come onto every sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we can figure out. Because then inshallah we have infinite hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He will support us, He will forgive us, and He will guide us. But if we don't make that effort and we continue in our lives, where for us everyone and his wife is more important than Allah and His Nabi, then there is a problem. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to put us in a situation where when we are put to that test, we fail. Because then nobody will even know. Nobody will know if they know they can't do anything. And that's why the second message of Hajj is the importance of the ittiba of the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is what Hajj is. Hajj is the ultimate obedience to Allah, and it is the ultimate ittiba of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, without question, without applying our own logic or whatever. We do it because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it. There is no other reason. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu ordered him to do it. And when we do that, as I mentioned, the reward is complete forgiveness of all sins. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to completely forgive all the sins of all the hujjaj who are standing in Arafat today, and to deliver them from all evil, and to strengthen their hearts, and to accept their du'as, and to give them what they ask, and then to give them from His generosity as a gift from Him jalla jalalu. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.